There are many, many parts to the Affordable Care Act, but one of the most important, the push to expand Medicaid. The oft-repeated logic here, ensure the poor, reduce their use of emergency rooms for basic care, and then save a lot of money. A new study in the journal Science raises questions about that thinking, at least in the short run. Researchers looked to Oregon, which in 2008 made a small Medicaid expansion. And to be clear, this was before the ACA became law. But now, 5 years later, the researchers found that among the Medicaid-insured in Oregon, emergency room visits are up by 40%. In fact, use of healthcare services increased overall there. So what does that mean for those promises about long-term cost savings? Let's turn to Jonathan Gruber. He's a healthcare economist at MIT and advised President Obama from 2008 to 2010. Jonathan Gruber, welcome.
Good to be here, Magna.
So first of all, this new study from Harvard indicates that people in Oregon, at least, who received Medicaid, their visits to emergency rooms increased by 40%. So does this not confirm some of the worries that people had regarding the costs of Medicaid expansion overall?
I think, Magna, what it does is it sort of puts the lie to, I think, a myth that somehow covering people with insurance will lower health care costs. I think that that was an inappropriate motivation for the law. I think that when you cover people with health insurance, health care costs go up. But they don't go up by much. This 40% number is a big number, but if you look overall at the projections from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services actuaries, the Affordable Care Act will raise healthcare spending by 0.1% a year over the next decade. That's compared to about a 6% underlying projection. So I think this just sort of confirms the fact that, yes, when you cover someone with insurance, spending goes up. They aren't using enough medical care. They need to spend more.
But before we get further into the study, I mean, I think many people will remember that amongst proponents of the Affordable Care Act, it was very frequently said in the run-up to the law being passed that the idea is that it would reduce spending overall over time.
And that's absolutely right, and it will. And these don't contradict each other, because remember, the Affordable Care Act has two pieces. One piece is the coverage piece. That piece by itself will not reduce spending. As we've seen in Massachusetts, where we only did the coverage piece, spending has grown at exactly the same rate as the nation as a whole. The second piece is the cost control piece, which is a fundamentally different aspect of the law that we didn't do here in Massachusetts. And that will lower the rate of cost growth over time. Indeed, it already has. If you look at the rate of cost growth since the Affordable Care Act's been passed, it's the lowest since we begun recording medical care cost growth. So I think what's missed in those conversations is the Affordable Care Act has two pieces. The coverage piece, which is about increasing financial security and improving health, and the cost control piece, which is really what the president spoke to when he talked about the long-run cost control benefits of the law.
Mm. We'll come back to that in a moment, but let's dig in a little deeper into what was discovered in this study regarding the state of Oregon, because it seemed that it wasn't just emergency room visits that went up when they did their early version of Medicaid expansion, but also use of primary care and also the use of prescription drugs as well. So essentially, use of healthcare overall went up.
You know, Meg, that's the whole idea. In fact, when I last looked at the data, the typical uninsured individual in America spends zero on healthcare a year. The goal is to take people who've been out of the system and not getting care that they need and bring them into the system where they can get care they need and improve their health.
I also note that out-of-pocket spending for these newly Medicaid-insured patients went down, and so did their risk of medical-related bankruptcy as well.
That's absolutely right. I mean, the really important findings from the study, I think, were not the unsurprising finding that spending went up, but the rather striking findings that financial security was massively up with reductions in medical debt and bankruptcy. And there was a monster improvement in mental health. There was a 30% reduction in depression. I think that goes well beyond the effects of just the improved medical care, but really speaks to the stress that people live under every day when they're uninsured and worried about going bankrupt.
But there are some other interesting findings in this study, Jonathan Gruber. For example, while they found an increase in emergency room use amongst these people who had Medicaid, they also found no decline in the use of the ER for primary care treatable conditions. Now, the idea of saving money in healthcare in the long run requires more people to not use the ER and use their primary care physician instead. Now, the researchers go to pains to say they don't know why this is, but does that not speak to some sort of need for further education in how people use the healthcare system?
You know, that's absolutely right, Meghna. In fact, in Massachusetts, when we passed our law that provided universal coverage, emergency room utilization did not go down at first, but it did go down over time. I think you have individuals who are used to using the emergency room for their primary care. You cover them with insurance. It takes them a while to adjust their behavior. And I think this partly speaks to the fact that the study did not look at the long-run effects. So I think it speaks both to the timing effect and the fact that it's not just enough to cover people with insurance. You also need initiatives on the supply side to lower use of emergency rooms.
Yeah. You know, Jonathan Gruber, when it comes to health insurance and healthcare in America, there's always this short-term, long-term conundrum, and that's sort of where much of the politics fall. Because, I mean, since the Affordable Care Act has been passed, 25 states have expanded their Medicaid coverage, 4 million newly insured people vis-a-vis that Medicaid expansion. But I'm also looking at a 2012 Kaiser Family Foundation report that found that the incremental impact of the ACA's Medicaid expansion, you know, will cost the federal government some $800 billion and states $8 billion. Now, for those states, I mean, there seems to be strong political pressure when they look at that price tag to not, you know, there's 25 states that haven't expanded Medicaid. Why would they if the short-term cost seems so high?
Well, first of all, the very short-term cost is not high at all. In fact, it's zero. For the next 2 years, for this year and the next 2 years, there's no cost to states expanding Medicaid. The federal government picks up 100% of the cost. Beyond that, the federal government picks up 90% of the costs. So literally what the federal government is saying to these states is, we will pay 90 to 100% of the costs of providing health insurance to your poorest citizens. Any state who turns that deal is committing nothing short of political malpractice.
So what do you think the big lesson is here from the Oregon experience?
I think the big lesson from the Oregon experience is, A, that expanding health insurance coverage does make people better off. It improves their mental well-being. It improves their financial security. B, expanding health insurance by itself doesn't save money. Expanding health insurance costs money. That's sort of the whole idea. But C, what it says is that if we want to look to saving money, we have to look to other aspects of the Affordable Care Act, which have been working. This is the first time in about 20 years that we've seen healthcare spending actually shrink as a share of our economy.
Jonathan Gruber is a healthcare economist at MIT. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet. Take it easy.
And we always want to know what you think. Let us know at hereandnow.org.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.